And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you love that hymn you sang as much as I do. When you first sing it, I hope you weren't thinking it was kind of morose, right? It's about what? It's about dying in the Lord. It's about dying in the Lord, right? Not just death, period, but dying in the Lord. I fall asleep believing and wake in heaven with thee. We need to have that view, right? So it always raises this topic, is there a healthy way to deal with and to talk about our mortality? Sure there is. That raises the corollary question, is there an unhealthy way? Yes, unfortunately. I want to make this observation, agree or disagree. I believe that we live in a culture that does not know what to do with death. Right? When things are normal and fine, what are we thinking? We accumulate things, we have the good life, we think, where am I going on my next vacation, right? By the way, my car is 10 years old. I should be upgrading now, right? And we think that kind of stuff. Where's the party, right? Where are we going? And we get involved in that kind of thing. And I do think that the coronavirus has brought all that to a crashing halt. Suddenly, people have thought, we could die. It's sobering, isn't it? And I think this is what happens. Either we face that in the Lord Jesus Christ, or else a culture that for the most part has said there is no God, there is no eternal life, there's nothing that follows death, and everybody lives day after day like, there is no God, I'm okay with saying that. And then when you face your mortality, then people start to think, what? I feel unprepared. We're having a shock to the system about this. And what I want us to notice, the reason I'm on that cheery subject, and we have a baptism which is glorious and tonight, and now this cheery subject of what happens when we die, is that St. Paul in our epistle lesson was dealing with that very thing. In Philippians, St. Paul is under house arrest. Sometimes you'll hear the pastor say he's in jail. He's not in a dungeon, if you're thinking that. He's in house arrest in Rome, but it is house arrest, right? But this is the thing. He's under house arrest, he's facing a trial, and he doesn't know how it's going to go. It's a Roman trial. How could it go? It could go to execution. It doesn't, by the way. It doesn't. He's going to be executed later. But and this time around, he's going to be in that house arrest for 2 years. He's going to get out. He's going to go to Spain. Then they'll arrest him and execute him. But right here, Paul, in a Roman house arrest, starts to think, what about mortality? I wonder if I get out of here or not, right? And several things I want us to notice that Paul says. The first thing, and I know we say this all the time glibly, but I want us to be aware of this. Can we agree that God is in control? Is that not hard to say in 2020? It is the easiest thing. When times are good, God is in control. Thanks be to God. I'm having dinner in a beautiful Charleston cafe. God's in control. But this is what Paul says. Paul is there under house arrest, and he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Now, if you got arrested, would your first thought be, this is somehow serving God's purposes? Not mine. If there's a police officer behind me on I-20, I'm not thinking that for 1 second. You know, not that I'd ever be speeding, of course. I mean, I'm driving with traffic, right? Which is speeding. But anyway, Paul, imagine this, gets arrested, is under house arrest, and he says, God is doing his work even in this. That's bizarre, isn't it? But Paul is the dude who used to sing in jail, too. He's got this funny view of it. But this is what's going on. He's in house arrest in Rome. You catch that point? In Rome. In Acts chapter 9, St. Paul was converted by meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road. And he is told, or he's told through Ananias, God says that his call is to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings. So how does Paul get to Rome? As a criminal. But isn't that funny? God has a purpose and he's working it. Paul as a criminal goes to Rome, testifies before the court, and he says the palace guard have come to understand that he's there for Christ's sake, right? And then two things amazingly happen. One is the palace guard is starting to become sympathetic. At the end of Philippians, St. Paul sends greetings to Philippians. He says, all God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Isn't that a funny phrase? St. Paul is sending greetings to believers, and he's saying, you're greeted by the members of Caesar's household. He means that people in Caesar's house have become followers of Jesus. Do you know who the Caesar was? Nero. Isn't that funny? St. Paul, arrested, facing trial, under house arrest, witnessing to everybody around him, he says, God is at work in this, and members of Nero's family are believers. That's funny stuff, right? God is in control. And then he adds the second thing that happens. He says, because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become more confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Have you ever noticed in your faith walk that, of course, unbelievers watch you to say, how's the Christian live? But did you know that believers watch you? Believers watch. How do you live your life? This is a funny thing about it. If a mature believer begins to act in their faith life out of fear, it makes the people around you fearful, right? If a mature believer acts bold and confident, then people are what? Emboldened. I'll never forget one time I was on a plane. We've all been on planes, and you've been in the plane during the storm, and I've been in many moderate storms, but one time I was in a really awful storm on the plane, so bad that the stewardesses sat down and strapped themselves in, and we had one of those bumps where the plane jumped several feet, and I was looking at the stewardess when it happened, and I saw in her face the look of fear. That was terrifying. I thought, if the stewardess is afraid, I'm afraid. Right? St. Paul is saying, I might be under arrest, but I'm proclaiming the gospel, and everybody else is now emboldened by it. Think about that. That Paul may be facing death, he may be facing life, he doesn't know. He lives his faith boldly, and everybody else is living boldly. The boldness, by the way, has to be whatever's going on, and again, I know it's 2020, whatever is going on, nothing can happen to us that's apart from God's plan. Now, does that mean that if you see me every day that I look bold and confident? Sometimes not so much, right? I myself think my faith walk needs to be stronger, Lord, but it just needs to be so. So St. Paul says, God is in control. Here I am, I'm under arrest. God's working in this. And then he goes on to say this verse that is a memory verse. I hope everybody knows it or learns it. Philippians 1:21. This is his big picture view of it. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. St. Paul's facing a trial. What's going to happen to him? He might live, he might die. And so you know what he says? If I live, fine, right? If I die, just as fine. Isn't that funny? To live is Christ. Now, he says different things. To live is Christ. What does he mean? He means, as the Bible says, that our life is in Christ, that we are saved by Christ, that we are energized by Christ, that we're imbued with his Holy Spirit, that every day is Christ. You live as a Christian. You go through your walk as a Christian, right? As a little Christ in the world. He said, if I continue to live, that's Christ. I'll be Christ in the world with the people going around me. In fact, when he goes on and says, if I go on living, that means fruitful labor for me. So if we live, what are we supposed to be doing? Whatever God has you to do, right? And by the way, that could be big things, smaller things, whatever. Whatever it is. God has something for you to do, and if you keep on living, you know what you're supposed to do? Do it, right? Do it. Be Christ in the world. But what happens if I die? He says, well, if I die, that's gain. Because if I die, what happens to me? Heaven. That's fine, isn't it? That's fine. Heaven. It's always funny to try to remember that at a funeral, isn't it? At a funeral, we who live are saying what? We're saying goodbye to a loved one, and it's okay to grieve because we're saying I'm going to miss them. But where are they? In heaven. I always think it's amazing. We wheel the casket down the center aisle, and then we think, there's my loved one. No. There's my loved one, right? There's my loved one by the side of Christ. No cancer, no disease, no illness, no persecution. They're fine, right? I hope I don't sound glib, but they're fine. We're not fine, right? And that's okay. We miss them, and we should miss them. But St. Paul is saying, if I die, that's gain. By the way, the word gain there is actually the Greek word for profits, like pay. St. Paul, in a very earthy way, is saying the believer who goes through all the good and the struggles of life, when they get to heaven, the believer looks at it and says, well, that was worth it, right? That was worth it. Whatever they said or did or whatever people did to me or whatever, however they treated me, to die is gain. That's why there's this peculiar verse in the Bible. God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is what? Jerry knows, right? The death of his saints. What a verse. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because they receive their eternal reward. You've said farewell to your loved ones, to many of them. They're fine. Right? They're fine. By the way, they are in heaven with Jesus, who said, right to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. They're not like in some catatonic state or anything. They're with Jesus right after they leave this place. Next thing that I want to be clear that Paul says. So he says, whether I live or die, great. But this is the next thing we want to get, that we don't do anything to hasten our own death, right? We shouldn't be hastening our own death. Paul actually, he's saying, I wonder if I'm going to live or I'm going to die. And then he starts to actually think this funny question, which one should I choose? It's not a funny question. Should I choose to live or choose to die? And he says, I don't know. I'm torn between the two. Read the text. It actually says it just that directly. And then he even goes on, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. So he gets what life is like. And he says, you know, it'd be better to be with the Lord. But I want to catch this. When I said we don't do anything to hasten our own death, Paul says, which should I choose? And you know what he doesn't do? Answer the question. Right? He doesn't answer the question. Do you know why he doesn't answer that question? It's not his to choose, right? Whose hands are we in? God's hands. When? All the time. Aren't we in God's hands all the time? They always say, this is a joke. My other plane story was real, but this is a joke about airplanes. They say that a man is getting on an airplane and he says, well, Lord, I'm in your hands now. And the Lord answers back, what makes you think that's not true all the time? Right? Somehow danger focuses the mind. God, go with me. Paul says, I desire to depart. I want to be very clear about this. It's not appropriate to commit self-harm, right? To take our own life. That's to take away from God his decision, how many days are written out for us. Paul is saying, I'm not going to do that. Even in the days of coronavirus, I would say this. We should not live in fear, and we also shouldn't do stupid stuff, right? So we get that. Which should I choose? Well, I should choose to be wise and prudent. Precautions, yes. Live in fear, no. I always love it when C.S. Lewis, because we're thinking about our health now, C.S. Lewis says that some people think about their health so much that they become grouchy about it. You know what he's talking about, right? We've seen people. I don't think you were called the germophobia, by the way. This year, this disease, I would say, take precautions, and guess what? Whether I live or die, that's in God's hands, isn't it? Don't do stupid stuff. Are we going to live or going to die? That's with the Lord, right? It's just the Lord's decision. It's not mine. It's not yours. All that St. Paul's been talking about himself, he then turns in verse 27 to the Philippians. And I think his word to them is keep going with eternity in mind, because this is what he says: whatever happens, whether he lives or dies, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Next verse, stand firm. Are we living in this world still? Are we alive right now? Guess what? Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of Christ, right? And when we go out of here, how are we going to live our life? Stand firm. Be faithful to Christ. He's faithful to us, right? His grace has saved us. His mercy and his love has called us to salvation. I rejoice at baptisms where we say, Rosemary, God loves you and he's adopting you into the family. And you know what you're going to do after that? Stand firm. Keep going. Press forward in the Lord. I love it. In fact, he actually says this: stand firm without being frightened by those who oppose you. Isn't that funny? Paul assumes you're going to be opposed. He doesn't say, pray that you never get opposed. He says, stand firm and don't be frightened by those who oppose you. And then he adds this: the reason I said live with eternity in mind, he says, this is a sign to them that they'll be destroyed, but you'll be saved. Isn't that funny? So as a believer, we live today, and then tomorrow, and the next day, all the days the Lord gives us. How many days? I don't know, right? But we live one day, and the next day, and the next day. But Paul is always living his life with the final judgment in mind, right? God's people are heaven-bound, and the people that have turned away from God are facing condemnation. And Paul has said, we live our lives in a way that makes it clear to folks that that's the way it is. By the way, you'll be saved, dash, that by God, right? Paul always has the end in mind. It's something for us to try to work on. We get caught up in the moment to remember to live with the end in mind. Here's my closing thought tonight. And I talked about this in my last newsletter article. Did you know that it is not morbid to think about death? It just isn't. Who in this sanctuary is mortal? Every one of us, right? We forget that. It's wonderful when you're 25 and it feels like you live forever. Isn't that nice? Do you live forever? No, you blink an eye and you're 57 and you think, what just happened? I had hair. I was skinny. My beard was brown. It goes by, right? It's not morbid to think about it. This is what happens. I think that we live in a culture that doesn't think about death, and then when it comes up, it becomes bleakness and terror. I think the Christian has this more balanced approach that says, I'm in the Lord's hands, right? If I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's gain. Which is better? Yeah, they're both fine, right? They're both fine. To talk about death, it's not morose, it's just the reality. In my newsletter article, I talked about the fact that years ago, I created a funeral planning form. I brought them. There's 50 of them at the back of the sanctuary tonight. If you've ever thought about it, I think Christians sit down and say, what hymns do I want to sing at my funeral? Well, not what hymns do I want to sing. What hymns do I want them to sing, right? Scripture lessons, all that kind of stuff. I think that's just real. We're mortal. We're in the Lord's hands, right? If I live, I live to the Lord. If I die, I die to the Lord. So whether I live or I die, I belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, right? This is what we know. The funny thing about biblical Christianity, God is in control. He's at work. He's counted out my days. I don't know how many they are. If I live, I do what Christ sets before me. If I die, I'm in heaven with the saints called before me. And what's weird is it's not morose. I'm not going to be morose about it. In an ironic way, if we think about and prepare for death in a biblical way, your life actually is easier, right? I think people push death aside. I don't want to think about that. And when it comes up, it's horrifying. As opposed to saying, I meet this in the faith. God is in control. He's got me, right? Tomorrow, the next day, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know. I'm not going to be morose about it. I'll just be ready for it. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Amen. Let me stand together. May the peace of Christ, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.